Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola.
Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren.
Today, I am led to believe we're talking about the no returns policy. How is that different in a coronavirus world?
Okay, so it's really, really interesting for somebody like me that's, you know, been doing this consumer journalism thing for so long. And certainly since the CPA came into effect in April 2011, the returns thing is quite clear. What you've never had the right to do is take back non-defective items. So if it's defective, no. Yes, you have the whole 3 hours repair, replacement, refund. But if there's nothing wrong with an item, you have no legal right to take it back, although so many South Africans think you do. But as a customer service, most stores, the big stores, will take back goods that don't fit or the child doesn't like because it's scratchy. They do it as a customer service. The thing is, though, retailers are required to let examine or try on goods before you buy so that are making an informed choice, right? A lot of people choose not to in the hope they can take it back if it doesn't fit, but you don't have a legal right to do so. So ideally, you need to try on. What's happening now with several stores is what I call the triple whammy. So the fitting rooms are closed for COVID-19 reasons. They're trying to limit the spread of the virus, so you can't try anything on. They're severely discouraging you from taking your kids into a store. And then they're saying you can't bring it back. In the case of Pep, for example, they're saying you can't bring it back until level one, which could be months from now, right? So it is really prejudicial to consumers. And I'm starting to get loads of complaints to my inbox, and Twitter's also a buzz. People saying, "I corner this. How can this be? We've got very little money at the moment.
What do you do?
Exactly. So I thought, what an interesting issue. I mean, you know, when Woolworths has a no refunds policy, that it's a it's really extraordinary time. Anyway, Woolworths appears to have had an about turn just from today, Thursday. You still can't try anything on, but you can take it back. And they've extended the returns policy window from 60 days to 90 days. So back to normal as far as Woolies goes with being able to take things back if they're not a good fit for you. You just can't try them on first. And incidentally, Pick and Pay did the same thing. But the big one is Pep. The Pep are saying you can't try on, we don't want you to bring your children to store, and we're only going to allow you to return the purchase in level one, whenever that may be. And I got a very, very upset email from a very upset woman who said she bought a tracksuit for her nine-year-old child. Ruth was her name, and she said, you know, I was told I must hold on to the clothes until level one. Could be September for all we know. Can't stores take it upon themselves to isolate returns for a few days at their premises and in the meantime allow people an exchange? So that's the big...
That's kind of clever.
It is clever, and it's the burning question, really. So I wanted to know from the Ombudsman for Consumer Goods and Services, Mahata Paslele, how this sits legally, the legal right that we have as consumers to try on before we buy versus the need for everybody to be curbing the spread of the coronavirus. So, yeah, and she did respond.
So what did she say?
Okay, so she said that she does fully understand the retailer's decision to disallow the fitting of clothes and also the return of clothes that have been purchased and then taken home because of the context of COVID-19. She said, "I'm not a health expert, but I understand that the coronavirus can survive on surfaces and clothing for some time. And while the Consumer Protection Act gives consumers the right to examine, which includes trying on goods before buying them, the big question is how can this be done safely within the present circumstances of a rampant virus?" So we all accept that. This is the interesting part. She says, in terms of Section 23, Part 3, the consumer has no right of return if, for reasons of public health, a public regulation prohibits the return of those goods, as she says, for example, underwear and earrings. In my view, she said, I'm not aware of any public regulation that deals specifically with the return of clothing during this lockdown, but the principles of that section of the CPA apply because the health risks are real and present. She said, while it may be possible to mitigate the risk of the spread of the virus in store by wearing masks and extra hand sanitation, the same might not be possible once the clothing is transported home, as we don't know the environment into which those clothes end up and how they are handled. So her advice would be to allow people to fit the clothes with strict health controls, but not to allow the return of clothes due to health concerns. And interestingly, the stores that have relented seem to have done it the other way around. They're still not letting you try anything on in their stores, but they will allow you to return them, with the exception of PEP and apparently JAM clothing. I did try and check that with their social media team, and they haven't got back to me. But Clemmie Norris of Durban was outraged. She emailed me yesterday to say she couldn't even try on a jersey over her clothes at JAM clothing on the Bluff. She said, and they now have a new no returns or exchanges policy, which they advertise at their store. And then she said, I've been inside my house gorging on food during the lockdown. I may not fit into my size clothes anymore. And I think a huge proportion of us will relate to that very strongly. So it is strange times indeed. As I say, Woolworths did an about turn, Pick and Pay's done an about turn. Edgars and Jet say you can't try on, but you can bring back. So I think, and just a last word about children in stores. The Disaster Management Act regulations do not specifically prohibit children from entering retail stores, but we do have very many stores with security guards placed outside the entrances, refusing to allow parents to enter with their children, and it's causing a big drama with single parents who say, I'm in lockdown, isolating at home alone with my child or children. Yeah. I don't have anyone to leave them with. So it's not in the regulation. Stores are trying to do their best to limit the spread, but there needs to be understanding. And Woolworths said, we are aware that not allowing children is not stipulated in the regulations, not allowing them in store, that is. We will ensure that all our store team members are reminded that they are able to allow families into our stores. But as a precautionary measure, we do encourage our shoppers to leave their loved ones and children at home, if possible, for their own health and safety. So there's that. And this in this very strange time, all I can say is, if you do need to buy yourself, you're not sure of your size anymore, or your children, especially they've grown since last winter, do find out whether you are able to return the clothing before you buy. Because if you go to a store which doesn't allow it, that could leave you with a big problem. You don't necessarily want to wait till level one lockdown to be able to exchange those pieces of clothing by which time they may not fit anymore.
Yeah, what jumps out at me is I can't see fitting working, because you've got a different person fitting on that outfit every hour. That you certainly haven't given the virus any opportunity to remove itself from that fabric. The fitting doesn't seem well. I think sensible people, take your measurements. Go in with your measurements, saying, okay, my leg is this long, my thigh is this thick, my crotch is this far from my ankle.
I've just got an image of people all over stores with tape measures on arms and legs. But yeah, there is that. But I mean, I mean, it was interesting to me that the Ombud said allow fitting with strict hygiene protocols, and then not returns, but that the stores are doing the opposite. I think everyone, as I keep saying, it's the sort of theme of all these shows, is that everyone's trying their best. No one's trying to be difficult. We're all trying. The stores are not trying to irritate their customers. They're trying to do their best to curb this virus. Some of their protocols are a bit overzealous, but yeah, as I say, before you buy clothing, find out what the policies are, so that you know exactly where you stand and you don't get an awful shock when you now need to return your child's ill-fitting tracksuit or whatever, and they say, no, sorry, you're stuck with it for a few months at least.
Yeah, I mean, parents will know. You buy a tracksuit for a 9-year-old, you're lucky to get 6 months out of it. There's no way it's going to fit in September. So, no, I get it.
Yeah. So there you go. That's that. Yep.
What I do want to ask you about, and I don't know, I know you cover motoring quite a bit as well, and a friend of mine asked me to ask you, why is it we can't sell cars?
Okay, so they're not. It's only a level three function, business operation, which is causing a lot of angst for the motor industry, the retail motor industry, which is three-quarters of the industry. It's only a quarter is manufacturing. So if you're manufacturing these cars, which is now allowed, level four, how are you going to, what's going to happen to them? They need to be sold, the industry is saying. And they're arguing that, you know, they're in a perfect position to do physical distancing within their showrooms. They're generally big. They can do a by appointment thing. A lot of the stuff can be done online up to the very last moment. Even test driving can be done with sterilization and all the rest, wearing of masks. Mm-hmm. Because the latest NAMSA sales figures, as you would imagine, are 98.4% lower than they were in March. And March was a bit lower because the last 5 days of March they didn't sell. I wanted to know, actually, just as an aside, why weren't they 100% down? Because 574 cars were actually sold in April. And 300 and something of those were sold by Ford. Now, so I went to Ford and I said, What was that? And apparently, it's just
how are you selling cars during lockdown?
Exactly, they weren't. They were overflow from March deals. The paperwork for those 300 and something cars was only processed during April. So we are looking at more like 100% unprecedented drop in sales, just about nothing. A few people bought for delivery later. I don't know why, but the issue is that the new regulations that were published, the latest ones last week, did allow for a level four car sales under specific conditions. And the whole industry is now waiting to find out what those conditions are, because they can't sell if they don't know how they're supposed to be doing it. So everything is on pause. But somebody said to me on Twitter, who the hell cares? Who wants to buy a new car now? We're in a terrible financial state due to the pandemic. And it's not, some people would need to buy a new car for whatever reason. The old one is kaput or whatever. But so many people, Darren, are looking at selling their cars or at least trading them in for a much cheaper model to get funds, which they need if they aren't earning money or they've had a massive salary cut. So this is another reason why this needs to open up, because if you do a private sale, it is so dangerous. Number one, if you're buying that way, you've got it's foot to toot, you have no protection, no recourse if it's a dud. And also, if you're selling, it's notorious for people posing as buyers, hijacking or stealing the car from you.
Yeah.
It's really not the way to go. Also, in the context of COVID-19, you don't know whether that car has infected with the virus or not, whereas in the dealership situation, they're obviously going to be doing completely rigid deep cleaning and all the rest. So we really need the dealerships to open again for many reasons. Part of them economic, and the dealerships, you can imagine how they're battling all these dealerships staying closed for so many weeks, but also for consumers to be able to buy or sell in many cases and get some financial relief that way.
So is anyone looking at amending that legislation, for lack of a better word?
Well, as I said, it's in the regulations for level four. It says car sales under specific conditions, but everyone's now on pause waiting to hear since the end of last week. What does that mean? What are those conditions? Okay. They don't want to transgress anything, but as far as I know, as we speak now, those conditions haven't been articulated. But I think it's fair to say any day now, you're going to be able to go into a dealership and either buy or sell a car, new or used.
Excellent. Perhaps we should get the protesting surfers to protest this cause.
Let's get some TV time.
It's a
funny old laugh at the moment.
And how is that inbox of yours doing? Are you still inundated?
You don't want to know. It's getting worse and worse, and it's interesting to see how the nature of it changes. So it's now the end of April, debit orders bounced. It's now a lot around I'm sure the banks have helped a great many people. They've their various forms of relief, and they're putting out stats to that effect. But I don't hear from people who've had a good deal out of a service provider. Yeah. I'm getting a lot of my credit to life policy didn't help me. It was rejected. The payment holiday means that my term of my car loan is going to be extended for 9 months, and that's terrible and all that sort of thing. So I'm hearing from people who are relying on a certain form of relief to bail them out. And they are now saying it's actually not, that big of a help, and I'm still desperate kind of thing, and I don't know when my business is ever going to recover or when I'm ever going to find another job or whatever. So it's bleak as we all know, but my inbox is not a happy place at the moment. It's more bleak than it's been in more than 20 years.
Yeah, quick fire one. I've tried to, I employ three people on various levels. I have my personal assistant who I still pay, but she's still helping me by a satellite. I have my domestic worker who I'm also paying and won't bring back until at least level two. We've gotten really, really good at house cleaning and laundry and our stuff. So, I'm just extreme like that. And my garden service as well. So I make these payments even though I'm not utilizing them. But I did think it was a little bit cheap, cheeky of my daughter's extramural ballet teacher to send me an invoice.
This is coming up a lot, Darren, and it's such a tricky one because, as I keep saying when we chat consumer issues, that it's an extraordinary time and it requires give and take. It requires give or take on both. Sorry, let me pick up. It's an extraordinary time and it requires give and take on both parts, consumer and service provider. So service providers such as a ballet teacher and all other sort of extramural providers, as well as the schools themselves, private schools, daycare centers, creches, are saying to their parents, you must keep playing. I've still got rent. I've still got salaries, etc.
Yeah.
But I think for those service providers to demand full fees from a parent body who in most respects has taken a knock financially, one or both parents is not getting full pay, I don't think that's in the spirit of give and take. So I think at the very least, a fairly dramatically reduced amount should be asked for. Strictly speaking, legally, if you don't get what you're paying for, you are not legally required to keep paying. But I'm saying in the spirit of give and take, but don't rip the ring out of it. So I have complaints from parents whose children go to creche that are still being asked to pay full fees, but no meals are being provided, and that sort of thing. I've had complaints from KZN gym members of small gyms saying, and they're still debiting us the full fees, but I know some of the staff, and those staff tell me they are not being paid. So there is a big problem and very hard to investigate because none of these people want to come forward on the record. So I would say, and I also have a case of a large private school still charging aftercare fees. Can you believe that? And bus transport fees. So that is ridiculous. It's a story I'm working on very actively this week. In the case of a ballet teacher, I would say, yes, you want her to still be around when what resembles normal life returns, but unfair of her to charge full fees under the circumstances.
Yeah, the way I sort of like justified in my head is I go, okay, that's going to cost me 12,000 Rand a year. That means I'm paying in installments of 1,000 Rand. So although I'm not getting the service this year or this month, or the 2 months or whatever, it still cost me 12 grand a year. So, you know, these are installments rather than, you know, I'm paying for this month or this month or this month. So if you look at it like that, that might be a little bit more helpful.
Look, I would say in the case of parents who haven't had a reduction in income, and you would be paying for it anyway, it's not the ballet teacher's fault. Just pay in full. If, however, your family or you as a single parent have had, you've lost your income or you've had a pay cut, as many people have, I think it is extremely fair to negotiate that you pay the same proportion less for those fees. And if in that situation the service provider is not accommodating, I would say that is not okay. That is not within the spirit that we're all being expected to conduct ourselves in this time.
All right. I think that'll bring us to the end of this link. We'll catch up with the new updates later. On a personal note, Wendy, I have my international flights with British Airways. I remember last time you said to me, just let it slide. You are allowed to do transfers or cancellations within the month. The month is coming up, but my problem is that the travel agency might go tits up. So the agency that's helping me with did I book this?
Yes. I suggest, I was going to say go directly to British Airways, but if you went through a travel agency, British Airways will tell you to go through your agency. So that is a very tricky one. Very tricky one. I can tell you, I have a personal story. Well, it's my parents were due to go on their last ever overseas trip They were supposed to depart on British Airways direct from Durban to London yesterday, the 5th of May, for this greatly planned trip. And I told my mother to wait until they cancelled, because that way it's easier to get a refund. They're still pushing vouchers and postponements, because the whole travel industry is doing that to avoid completely dying through COVID-19. But my father is 93. They're not going to travel overseas again. So I've said for her to push for a refund. And the only way she can do that is to make a call to British Airways in the UK. There's no nobody handling that locally. She's done that. There's long waits, you can imagine, and I'm very eager to see when or if she gets that refund. But in your case, you have to go through your agency, and I'm hoping that it lasts long enough to do that for you. It may well, the agency may well take its cut, which is annoying, but British Airways is issuing refunds. They announced, they initially said they weren't, but now they are. So good luck to you as well with your refund.
Also, the sooner the later, because they might go into some form of business rescue until who knows when they return to...
Are you talking about your agency or the airline?
No, I'm talking about British Airways. Might even go into business rescue.
You know what's happened with Comair, which represents British Airways in South Africa, and Kalula. They went under business rescue yesterday, which is another huge... Yes. Shocker. But British Airways, UK-based British Airways, that's sort of separate. But you never know. Yes. I mean, the airline industry is in a terrible state. Virgin Atlantic and United announced thousands of layoffs just yesterday. Mm. So it's, new day, new horror story as far as the aviation industry is concerned, unfortunately.
All right. Well, we've got lots of experts that are helping us with the virus side, with the socio-political side, with the business side. And now we have our Wendy Nola helping us with the consumer side. All of these and all past stories are available on our website, ecr.co.za. Look for Consumer Watch. And if you need to get a hold of Wendy directly, if any of her questions have not been answered in the last 5 weeks, you just get a hold of her on her Facebook page. It's Wendy Nola Consumer. There is an email option there. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks, Darren.